And it was, today is a significant time of preparation for what's to come. That's what today is about. And actually this week is going to be about preparation for what's to come. So Cheryl, would you like to come and just pray for God's blessing on our thoughts today?
Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we just thank you that you are working in each one of us and speaking to each one of us. And Lord, I pray that as we come into this next week as well, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will continue to just work in us. And Lord, as we open your word right now, I pray that we will learn new things. Lord, it's familiar story, the Easter story to us, and yet I pray that we won't take anything as just same old, but Lord, that you'll speak to us, and Lord, we'll get fresh revelation today of what you've got for us, and just challenge us and open our eyes today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. She does. Yes. Today we're in Matthew chapter 6, but before we turn there, I've got a few questions to ask you guys. First of all, who here would like to have a closer relationship with God? I mean, we all would, wouldn't we? I would. Who would like to see blessing released in your family, in your finances, in your life? It would be me. It'd be you. Okay. Who would like to have better health? Can never have too much energy, can you? Especially as you get older, we'd like better health. Who would like to see? Andy, you got enough energy? Okay. Who would like to see a real turning to God right across our community and across this nation and our neighbours and our friends and all that? And full church services next weekend. Who'd like to see that? I would. I think we all would, really. And every week after, you know, people just pouring into God's house. We have to have more chairs, more space, and because people are hungry for God. Well, that's what this week is about. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus gave us some keys to see that happen. And this is a continuation of our series, the Sermon on the Mount. And we've been, if you remember back, I think last year we started this, where Jesus was speaking to such a big crowd, he had to move up the hill, up the mountain. And the people there were from all walks of life, ordinary people, mums and dads out there, working people, kids, families, older people, just much of a cross-section like we are here this morning. And Jesus said to them, "You are the salt and the light of the earth." There was a revelation to them, because up until then they'd always thought it was the religious hierarchy that were the ones to be the influencers. And then Jesus taught them how to live, didn't he? We've been looking at that recently when he spoke about, he explained the law, the spirit of the law, and what it was all about. And he talked about murder and how, you know, anger, we learn to deal with that. We're not going to end up murdering someone. It's the spirit that matters. The adultery, he talked about that, and we need to be careful what we look at, what we focus on. Divorce, he talked about that. He talked about, Jesus is talking about restoration of relationships and how important that is. We've just studied all this. He even talked about loving our enemies and how we need to be doing that as well. It was a whole different concept what Jesus was talking about that day on the Sermon of the Mount. And this is one of the pinnacles, as it were, of preaching, what Jesus was talking about then. And then in chapter 6, we've been in chapter 5, now we're moving into chapter 6, and Jesus gives three keys to how to be salt and light, and to see breakthroughs, and how to see change, and how to see the kingdom of heaven come to earth. That's what Jesus was teaching them. He'd just been talking about the Lord's Prayer and so on as well. And the three things that Jesus was talking about at the beginning of chapter 6 is giving and prayer and fasting. Three things. And incidentally, as a church, this week, our plan is to do all three of those things. On Wednesday night, we're going to go and we're going to give hot cross buns right across the town. We've ordered 300 or 400 packs of hot cross buns, six in a pack. Beautiful, freshly baked from the bakeries downtown. And we're just going to bless people, no strings attached. And we did this last year, and I think everyone that was involved with it really loved it. Anyone that was involved with it here, a few of us. Yeah, I think those of us that did this last year realized, hey, this is really cool to be able to just go and bless people, give them stuff, unconditionally. So we'll be doing that on Wednesday night, and we will start as soon as we're able to. Obviously, most of us having to work and so on and so forth. But we're going to aim to be at the food bank by 5 onwards, and we'll just keep going until we've finished. The idea is that, hey, if you want to do your street, come down to the food bank, get your hot cross buns, we'll cross off your street so we're not having people going to the same place over and over. And I mean, you can bless your neighbours. You can you could get your family together. I think, Deli, you guys did a whole half of Raglan West last year with all your kids. I remember you had a good team, and you never know what might happen. Might be 400 this year. Anyway, we're not there to get, we're there to give. And the praying. We've set aside between 6 and 8 a.m., Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the next 3 days of this week. Tomorrow morning, 6 o'clock. It's going to be a bit of a struggle for me. I'm not a morning person. But Cheryl and I will plan to be at the food bank at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning until 8. And anybody that would like to come and join us, even if you can only come for 5 minutes or half an hour, just pop in and we will spend some time praying for our community. Praying for God's blessing on the people that are going to receive the buns this week, and praying that people might just be so excited to be in God's house next week at Easter and onwards, and giving their lives to Jesus. And I mean, there's all sorts of stuff that we can pray about. And Norris and Roger will be at Tiuku tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock, and Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning at 6 o'clock, and we'll be at the food bank in here. And anyone that would like to join, I mean, if you're rushing off to work in Hamilton, you might like to just go 10 minutes earlier and stop in there and pray with Norris and Roger at Tiuku, or with us. So you got the picture? So we're giving and we're praying. And what's the other thing? Fasting. Why fast? You've all gone a bit quiet. Surely we could just pray and give out the hot cross buns and invite people along to church on Sunday, and that would be cool. We could just skip that last bit. And shall we vote for that? Shall we get democratic here? Have a vote on this? Who wants to fast this week? I see one hand. Who would rather skip it? Yes. Okay, well, thankfully, God's not into democracy. He's a theocracy. And God, in his word, Jesus talks about fasting. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus puts all three together, giving, prayer and fasting. And it's like a three-strand cord. By itself, and I've got some strands here of cord. If this was giving, you know, there's a blessing released when we give. And if this here is prayer, could you unravel that for me, please, dear? Now, there's a blessing released when we pray. And if this one here is fasting, there's a blessing released when we fast. But if would someone like to see if you can break this? Andy, you're up for a challenge. This is just a bit of hemp type stuff. Oh, look at that. Too easy. Okay, what about this one, Andy? You think you better break that one too? It's just a bit of knitting wool. Oh, yeah. And another one here, the fasting one. It's going to be a bit trickier. Oh, so too easy. All right, we'll leave those there. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12 says that a three-braided cord is not easily broken. So we've got these little cords here of exactly the same stuff that Cheryl's going to plait for us. And once she's done it, I'm going to have anyone that can break it, I'll give you $10. And you probably will be able to break it, but anyway, so that's a start for your 40 deli. You could give it a go, mate. Okay. So let's get into our reading, Matthew chapter 6, while Cheryl does her plaiting there. And we'll have a look at that in a moment. This is fasting. This is the third strand that we're talking about here. Oh, we've got a good plate. Can you do it really strong? For me, I'll give you $5 if you can do it really strong. Okay. All right, let's read this. Can we have the words up there, please, Campbell? When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. I think we might be on the wrong verse. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 16. Oh, that's it. All right. We'll go back to verse 16 and we'll start again. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now I want to talk about this a little bit further this morning. And I want you to notice that right at the beginning of this part where Jesus talks about fasting, he doesn't say, if you fast. What does he say? When you fast. So it's almost like Jesus is expecting that the people will and that we will. This is his word to us, okay? So it's not if, it's when. And Jesus also begins, interestingly enough, the section just previous to this on giving, and he says, and Ed actually will speak about this in a couple of weeks' time. And so we're not doing this section completely in order, but there's some teaching coming on giving as well. But Jesus begins the section on giving. He says, when you give. So he's expecting that we're going to be generous givers. And then he teaches us how to give. And then he goes into the section on prayer, and he says, when you pray. He's expecting us to be prayerful, prayers. And when it comes to fasting, he doesn't say, if you choose to fast, he says, when you fast. He's expecting us to fast. All these three things Jesus expects us to be doing. And I read a little book recently on fasting by a pastor called Jensen Franklin. Have any of you heard of him? Heard him speak? He's spoken at some of the conferences we've been to in Hillsong, and I'm not sure if he's been to Auckland or not. I think he has. He's a pastor from Georgia in the USA. And in his book, he says this: the discipline of fasting releases the anointing, the favor, and the blessing of God in the life of a Christian. And then he talks a little bit about his experiences. He says, for me, fasting has been the secret to obtaining open doors, miraculous provision, favor, and the tender touch of God on my life. And he says, I was on a three-day fast when God called me to preach. That was when he was just a young man, and now he's a pastor of, you know, a huge church, and he's got a worldwide preaching ministry. He also says, when I was on a 21-day fast, when our ministry received its first $1 million gift. So his experience is that actually it brings change. So are we willing to consider fasting this week over those 3 days? Something that perhaps we haven't done. Some of us have done this before. As a church, we've done this before. We haven't done it for a while. But I want to talk about this a bit more this morning. So how do we fast? What do we do? And actually, it's pretty simple. In the Greek word used for fast here in Matthew chapter 6, I'm getting really technical on you guys now, is it simply means this: a total abstinence from food for a certain period of time. Doesn't specify how long. It may be for one meal. It may be for one day. It may be for 3 days. Or if you were Jesus or Moses, it might be for 40 days. And I think we've also heard about a partial fast, and Daniel in the Bible did one of those where he skipped desserts and meat and so on. And we could skip coffee, we could skip tea, we could skip desserts or TV or internet or devices. And that may be a great thing to do, just as a diet is a great thing to do. But actually, that's not what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about no food for a certain period of time. He's not talking about whether we're going to look at our phone for a day or not. He's talking about whether we're going to eat or not. And I think Jesus' audience on the mountainside that day understood what Jesus was meaning when he was saying to them, when you fast, this is what you do. Because back in Jesus' day, there was a group of people that fasted religiously. The Pharisees fasted 2 days a week. And we're told this in Luke chapter 18, verse 12. They fasted every Thursday and then every Monday, before the Sabbath and then again afterwards. And it was like a religious thing that these people did. And everybody knew that they were fasting. That was their tradition. And they loved to make a big show of it. They would go around looking sad. They would look somber. Some of them would even disfigure their faces on Thursdays and Mondays. So everyone thought, oh, those poor guys, they're being religious, they're making sacrifices, they're being good Pharisees. And everyone knew how religious and good they were. And that's why in verse 16, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. Then he went on to say, but when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face. Now, how many of us put oil on our heads normally? None of us. Back then, it was a normal part of everyday life. It was nothing special about putting oil on your head or washing your face. Now, we wash our face, but we don't necessarily put oil on our head. But that was just normal, everyday body care for them. So what Jesus was actually saying here is when you fast, carry on just as normal. If you brush your hair, brush your hair. If you wash your face, wash your face. If you do your teeth and your floss and all the rest of it, just do that as normal. If you put oil on your head, just do that and just carry on. If you work, go to work. If you're a mum, you have to be a mum. Whatever you're doing, just carry on. And it's not about impressing anyone else. It's just something between me and God and you and God. It's a private matter. That's what Jesus was teaching them. Now, having said that about the privateness of it, what we're going to do is just pass around a sheet. I'm not going against Jesus' teaching here. All we're doing is we're really wanting to make sure that the next 3 days as a church we've got it covered off. We want that third strand to be consistent. And we also want some commitment out of me and you guys that we're going to actually do something. Because sometimes if we don't commit, we don't sign our name to something, we say, great idea, I'm going to do that. We go home, we forget about it, we get busy. And hello, we come Wednesday night, oh, I forgot to fast this week. Oh, never mind. Okay, so this is about commitment, and we're not going to put this on Raglan Notice Board or Facebook, who is fasting today. But what we want to make sure is that over the next 3 days as a church, if we're going to do this and take it seriously, it might sign off if you're willing to miss a meal or a day or 3 days, whatever you, we're not asking for any more than 3 days here. So, just as we pass this around, let's get some commitment happening. And if you want to be a little bit anonymous, like Jesus, just put your initials or something. You want to write your name. You don't have to put your email and your phone number and everything with it as well. Just write your name or sign it off. And it's just a commitment that we're making together as a church, if you're willing. And as we fast, let's just smile and get on with life as normal and pray instead of having meals. The main thing is that God knows what we're doing. Fasting is not easy. How many of us have fasted before? Yeah, most of us have fasted before. I don't enjoy fasting. I don't think anybody does. One of the keys, I think, when we're going without food is to drink lots of water. And that's good for us, and it takes away your appetite, and yeah, it's healthy. Tonight we're completing our series on the gifts, passion, and personal style. So far, I have never met anyone with a passion to fast. Is there anyone that's got a passion to fast in here? No. Okay. Oh, I've never met anyone with the gift of fasting. I've met people with the gift of giving. We're talking about the three strands. There's lots of people who've got the gift of giving. There's lots of people who've got the gift of prayer and intercession. But fasting is a little bit different because it's not something that God gifts us with. It's a discipline and it's a choice. And it's something that we need to think about. We need to, you know, just think and consider this. And even if you don't write your name down today, I'd encourage you to, what you might do is say, look, I'm going to fast on Tuesday morning, and you get into it and you say, okay, I'm going to actually fast. Missed breakfast, I survived that. I might do lunch as well. And actually, I survived that. And I've had lots of water, and I'm okay. I might even do dinner too. Let's do more than our commitment rather than less. But much of our Christian life, it's not just about expressing our giftings, is it? There's this whole area of choice and discipline where we have to make decisions. And I think as we grow in maturity as a Christian, we realize it's not always about us doing what we're naturally gifted to do, but sometimes we just do whatever it takes to, because we've got a bigger picture in mind. That's where fasting comes in. It's one of those disciplines that we say, okay, I don't enjoy this, but Jesus talked about it. It's all through the Bible. other Christians have experienced and it brings a lot of good, and I'm going to give this a go. So that's my challenge today. Jesus knew it wasn't easy to fast, because when he was talking about this, it was near the beginning of his ministry, and what did he do just before he was talking to these guys about fasting? He'd had his 40-day fast, hadn't he? And out in the wilderness. And in the process, what had happened with Jesus while he was fasting? He was confronted by the devil himself. Remember that? Jesus knew. Fasting's no fun. No fun being confronted by the devil. No fun going without food for 40 days. But he did it. And even though he didn't have to do it, he chose to do it because I think he knew there was victory in fasting that he may not have. Even though he was God's son, he chose to fast because I think he knew there was spiritual victory to be won. And actually, he defeated the devil, didn't he, at the fast when the devil three times tested him. And then all through his ministry, he went on to defeat the devil every step of the way. And at Easter, of course, we remember the ultimate defeat that Jesus, when he took the devil out properly. So there's a spiritual dimension in fasting, the power of fasting. Matthew chapter 17 tells us a situation where Jesus' disciples came across a boy who was a little boy who was demon-possessed and he had seizures. He would have seizures and he'd be thrown on the ground and he'd be foaming and at the mouth. And his parents were beside themselves. They didn't know what on earth to do. They brought this little kid to the disciples and they prayed for him and they tried to cast out this demon. They couldn't do it. And they were talking to Jesus afterwards. Why couldn't we get that boy healed? And Jesus said something interesting in verse 21. He said, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Fasting is a spiritual weapon. It's probably one of the least used in our toolbox. So we're willing to give it a go. We're willing to give it a go? We're filling in the things. Whereabouts is it now? Oh, cool. Keep passing it along. Make sure Willie's keen to get it over this side in Delhi. We need to. PJ's waiting. He wants to fill in 3 days. Anyway. Personally, as I was preparing this message, I believe that if we can get this three-strand cord thing happening. And how's our? It's all ready to go. Okay, who wants $10? I don't think it'll be that hard. But just before anyone comes, I really got a sense that if we can really, as a church, we can grasp this stuff. If we can set aside 3 mornings to pray. Whether if you can't come to the food bank or to Youku, pray at home. Let's really focus in. If we can set aside Wednesday night to come and if you live over at Te Pahu, John, we could organize some buns and you could take them to your neighbors over there. Do your road. You don't necessarily have to be in Raglan to do it. We can give them anywhere. And if we can commit to some fasting this week. I believed, as I was thinking, that there's going to be a shift. I believe there's going to be a shift. A spiritual shift. It's going to be quite significant. So I put that out there. But really, it's up to us if we're going to take up the challenge or not. Anyone up for the challenge here? Oh, Chris? It won't be that hard. Look at that. Give her a hand. Give her a hand. $10. That was an easy $10. Plus five for flatting it. Okay. Now that was my little analogy gone up in smoke. But I'll tell you what. She's suffering. I tell you what though, I reckon if every one of us plaited a little cord like this, and how many of us in this room? 50, 60, 70, 80 maybe. If we plaited all our cords together, we would have something that would be strong enough to be a tow rope to pull a Boeing 737, I reckon. What do you think? Yeah, because it was a lot harder to break that than the single one. And if when there's unity, when there's all of us together, the three strands and then the 83 strands coming together, there's power in that. At the end of Jesus' teaching on fasting, Jesus said this in verse 18. You there, Campbell? We'll have that last bit. at the end of the section, Jesus said this. Here we go. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And in some translations, it says openly reward you. What we do in secret and in private, our Heavenly Father will reward us openly in public. Isn't that awesome? Jesus promises a reward for fasting. He does. That's what this says. And as I was thinking about this, I thought, well, maybe Jensen Franklin is right in his book when he said there's extra anointing, there's extra blessing, and there's that touch of God on our lives when we take God's word seriously, when we believe what Jesus talked about and actually do it. That's the challenge, isn't it? So bless you guys. How about if we stand?